turn with me to John chapter 19. John chapter 19, verse 30, we find the Lord Jesus on the cross, and at the end of the time there on the cross, it said that he was thirsty. Verse 30 says that when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. I thought it was worthwhile for us to spend some time thinking about what it was that the Lord Jesus had meant when he said, "It is finished." What is it that is finished? First of all, clearly, it wasn't Jesus himself, his work, or his purpose that was finished. It's the Father's work that was finished back in the high priestly prayer in chapter 17. The Lord Jesus is speaking to the Father. It's useful for us to see the position that the Lord Jesus takes here. We know from Hebrews that the Lord Jesus is a priest. Priest is the one who stands before God, offers sacrifices to the Father on behalf of man, and offers prayer to the Father on behalf of men. So he offers a sacrifice, and he offers an intercessory prayer. And here in John 17, he is offering intercessory prayer as the high priest. And even prior to having gone to the cross, in verse 4, he speaks of a finished work, knowing that it is a reality, that the things have been put into motion, and that he is to be upheld to the end. He says in verse 4, he says, "I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do." So he's saying here, it's not that which I have drawn out for myself, sketched out and completed. It is the Father's work, and I have completed it. We see it again prospectively in Isaiah 53. Verse 10, it says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief." It says, "When you make his soul an offering for sin." And so the Lord Jesus, where we started here in John 19:30, when the Lord Jesus says, "It is finished," he's able to say that his Father, the one who has at this point hidden his face from him, has put him to grief, but for a purpose. The Lord Jesus is here by faith, with the heavens dark around him. He's already said, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He knows that it is the Father who has broken his body for a purpose. that there is a sacrifice for sin that is underway here, and he's able to say, it is finished. There is a sacrificial work here that the Father is undertaking on behalf of sinners. In the 12th verse of Isaiah 53, it says, this is from the point of view of God the Father. He says, therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great. It says, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death. And the Lord Jesus is able to say, it's all done. There's nothing left yet to do. All that had been given me to do with regards to salvation is all complete. So what is it that the Father had determined? It is finished with regards to the salvation for you and me. The Father had said, there is blood that's to be poured out for a sacrifice. The Lord Jesus' blood is being poured out. So, for you and me in a place like this, it is a necessary thing for us that we have a sight of the mercy and love of the Father in salvation. It's not just a transaction. It's not just a killing. It's a merciful pouring out of love. The Father is giving that which is needed for salvation. He has in sight those ones that he will save. When the Lord Jesus says, it is finished, he is looking beyond the current circumstance. He is looking to the drawing in, if you will, of all of those who will be saved throughout the ages. Isaiah 53 says, he will see his seed. It's not just a symbolic action. There is a reality to that which the Lord Jesus is doing on the cross. So it's the Father's work, and it's a complete work. And the Lord Jesus says, it's finished. We are able to hear the Apostle Paul saying then in Romans chapter 8, some few years later, he says, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When the Lord Jesus says, it's finished, we have to hear, there is no condemnation. We have these absolute statements. The Lord Jesus is acting as a complete barrier to the wrath of God against sin. The Lord Jesus says, if I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men. If I'm lifted up, I will stop God's wrath against sin for those who come to me. And so Paul says, there is no condemnation. Well, but I see my own lack. I see my own heart. I see my own sin on a daily, hourly basis. minute-by-minute basis. When the Lord Jesus says, "It is finished," there's no caveat. There's nothing that's going to break that. It's necessary for the believer to leave that with the Lord Jesus. Leave that to the design of the Father with regard to his Son. It's very possible for us to get caught up in that which I am doing somehow to complete the work of Christ. There's nothing that I can do to complete that. There's nothing that I can do to make it better. It's necessary for me to leave it there. The Lord Jesus has said, "It's finished." I have a necessary sight of Him. And then I go on. In Colossians 2, he says, "You were dead in your transgressions. He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our transgressions." Well, I get that I was a wicked sinner. Christ forgave me. But I keep sinning. Paul's not talking about, sins prior to regeneration. Or as the Catholics would say, sins prior to baptism. And the rest of them we have to atone for ourselves. It's not what Paul's talking about. All. We couldn't possibly atone for even the smallest one. Canceled the certificate of debt, he says, he took it out of the way and he nailed it to the cross. What does it look like then to go forward as a believer? It's to look at the Lord Jesus saying, "It's finished." The result is sin's debt is paid. The result is a purchase. Has been brought to God. The result is life. Life for life. Christ's life for my life. All of those transactions are real transactions. There is a true substitution. There's a true purchase. There's a true putting of my sin on the Lord Jesus. All of those things are real. And the Lord Jesus says, "It's finished." It says, "Having forgiven us all our sins." He nailed it to the cross. And he gives us this as a reminder. Isaiah 53 says that he poured out his life to death. We have a pouring out here. There's no reenactment, there's no redoing, but it is certainly a reminder of the reality of that of a finished work for you and for me. It's an absolutely completed thing. You know, Lord Jesus says, it's finished. But you know, Lord Jesus had that soldier drive that lance into his side. There was this yucky mess. Some mingled blood and water come out. The result is messy. Can I just say that? It's messy. It was blood, a bloody death. It wasn't pretty in any sense. There is a reminder here of the fact that the Lord Jesus, having set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem, in obedience to the Father, in love for you and me, that he would go to the extent of death. And Hebrews puts it for us, he referring to us, but referring from in the first place to the Lord Jesus, says he resisted sin to blood, so to speak, to even to death that he's referring to, but it's to blood. It's a messy thing. And then the writer of the Hebrews refers to us. He says, you have not yet resisted sin to blood, to death. The Lord Jesus, in order to get to that place of saying, it's finished, there was an obedience all the way. And we are reminded of the Lord Jesus. He has accomplished salvation. But the mode of it, the manner of it. And in the early church, the Lord's Supper was accomplished with a partaking, of course. But then they would also essentially stand up and re-give themselves to a covenant of obedience when they would take the Lord's Supper. And I had no intention of recapitulating an early church tradition, but I think that as the writer of the Hebrews said to us, he resisted sin to blood. And we have that here. There is, as we partake here, we have a once for all finished work. And how did it get there? By that obedience all the way to the messiness of blood. And your life and my life are there's a certain churn to them. They're not neat and clean and easy to describe. There's a messiness to them. Well, Lord Jesus' life was messy at the end, wasn't it? Death is not clean when it's up on a cross and blood is pouring from lots of places. There is an expectation that we see our lives here that we are called on to follow the Lord Jesus, not for salvation, but because of salvation. I'm not saved because of the, because I, you know, grit my teeth and follow, but I'm saved in order to follow the Lord Jesus. That is the nature of salvation. He followed that which, that path that the Father had given him. We have been given salvation, and that salvation is absolutely a following of the Lord Jesus. It doesn't come any other way. And so here we are reminded that the Lord Jesus followed all the way. He obeyed to blood. You and I cannot change our pasts. They're gone. And they are blotted out for believers by the blood of Christ. But we see things in our lives just sitting here that we don't like. And it is right and necessary for us to see the path of the Lord Jesus following on to death. And it is right for us to say and to remind ourselves of the straightness of his path, to straighten our paths because of the work of Christ on behalf of sinners. I can't forgive my own sins. He has done that. But I am called on in a messy, messy obedience in this place.